Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Psalm 149, Psalms 149. Psalm 149, beginning in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Excuse me. I'm going to read you something Tim James wrote in a bulletin I found very pleasing. We who are in no way, are we sovereign? And we are intellectually disabled when it comes to grasping the meaning of sovereignty. We believe the fact of it, we rejoice in the blessedness of it, and we know the one who is sovereign only by the faith that this sovereign gives us. Thus our opinions and Erzat's explanation of sovereignty are of little value. Saving faith does not consider feeling, experience, or pipe dreams. Saving faith believes what is written in God's word. Tim James wrote that, and I agree wholeheartedly. I wish I could really lay a hold of the sovereignty of God. Walter, my worries would disappear. My worries would be gone. I know he's in control. I know the one who is sovereign, but I still don't really get a hold of it. And I wish I could. I really do. But now, having said that, I'm going to try and preach the sovereign God. This is what we do. My title here today is Pleasure in His People, Paul. Because I'm going to just start in verse 4. Well, I'll back up a little bit when I do it. But For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, verse 1 tells us, sing a new song. What? Unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. His praise in the congregation of saints. Verse 2 says, let Israel, and I love this, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. The congregation, the saints. What's that mean? Believers are to rejoice in their Creator, their Maker, their Maker. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. And if you don't know that, you don't know God. Because He is going to bring you to the place where you know you have nothing to do but to cry out for mercy, to ask for His grace. And you know why you're going to ask for His grace? Because He's told you to. You have nowhere else to go. You've nothing in yourself. We're talking about the sovereign Lord, the Creator of Israel, the Creator of all of His people, the Maker. And it also says, believers rejoice in their Maker. Believers rejoice in their Maker. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. That's who this Lord is. The Lord is the Creator and the Maker and the King. The King. The King of His people. The Creator is their King, and their King is their Creator. Because believers are, Israel was, a new creation. A new creation. We are a new creation created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's what the Scriptures tell us. He is not only our King, He is our Maker. You understand, there's some people who want to say, let Jesus save you. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Make Him your Lord later. No, if you're not coming to the King, if you're not coming to the Creator, you're not coming to God. He's not going to save anyone that He doesn't create in this manner. Now, where this says, their Creator, their King is the Lord. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. This is Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent one. Now, you've heard us before say that a lot of times in the Old Testament, where it says the Lord, even Yahweh, it refers to Jesus Christ. So in this case, is this referring to the Father or is this referring to the Son? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's both. It's the Lord. The Lord, our God, is one God. But we also know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Yes, this references to the Father, and this references to the Son. This is the Lord, the one Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Father chose us in the Son. The Son came and saved His people from their sins, and the Spirit gives us life from above, born from above. And the Spirit abides, dwells in His people. He dwells, He lives in those who are foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. It's Romans 8. This Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit, takes pleasure in His people. Takes pleasure in His people. And that's the part that stopped me when I read this. I mean, to me, that is just an astounding statement. Because stop and think for a minute. The Creator takes pleasure in His people. And you understand, when He's talking about His people, He's talking about us. He's talking about believers. In this case, He's talking about the congregation of Israel. He's talking about those who know God, those who love God, those who trust His Son, those who believe his son, and yet we're still us. We're still us. The Lord of all creation takes pleasure in his people, the saints, those who believe Christ Jesus. And the primary meaning of this is he's pleased with us. And sometimes I find that hard to believe about myself, not you, about myself. He is pleased with us. Another meaning of it is he accepts us. He loves us. The Lord loves his people, right? In his son. You got to put that in. I have to put that in. See, there's a lot of people who have a tendency to think of this Bible here as a book about them. The Bible's not about you. The Bible's not about me. The Bible is about Jesus Christ. The Bible is about the Lord of glory, the sovereign Lord of glory. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not. We're mentioned. He's taking care of his people. But you understand, it's about him. And it's about his work. His creation. Oh my. The Lord God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit take pleasure in us, in believers, in those that know and trust his Son and believe his Son. Because please understand, and I want to be very clear about this, believers are no better than unbelievers. We've still got unbelief in our hearts. It's still there. We are different, but we're not better. You understand what I'm saying? And here's the thing. Believers know who, and I mean who, maketh thee to differ. And it's not themselves. It's God. It's the Lord himself. Because we are not better, we are still sinners unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord takes pleasure. And here's the thing, in us, in his people, the Lord does take pleasure in his people. Oh, man. We know we don't have anything that we haven't received. But we do have it, Walter. He is made unto us by God. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is all from the second Adam. From the first Adam, we didn't get any wisdom, we didn't get any righteousness, we didn't get any sanctification, we didn't get any redemption. All we got from the first Adam was that we were made sinners. But from the second Adam, oh, he is made unto us. All of that. We are not better, and the Lord takes pleasure in us, in his children, in his people. You understand? That's mercy. That's grace, and that's love from the Lord. Matter of fact, that's unspeakable love, full of grace and truth. The Creator takes pleasure in those he has created. That's grace. He's not taking any pleasure. Let me be very clear about this. He's not taking any pleasure in our merits because we don't have any. Salvation, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper where? In his hand. In Christ's hand. But salvation has never had anything to do with, and never will have anything to do with, our merits. It has to do with His mercy, His grace, and His love. His sacrifice, His redemption, His justification. We have, believers have, in them the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and the Father takes pleasure in us. The Son takes pleasure in us. The Spirit takes pleasure in us. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The Lord of all creation took mercy upon His fallen creatures. And not only that, He takes pleasure in those He has raised from the dunghill. That's where we were. He raises the poor from the dust, and He raises the beggar from the dunghill, to sit them with princes. The Lord takes us from the dunghill, and He provides us with the garments of salvation. He gives us the garments of salvation. Then He provides us with, gives us, His robe of righteousness. And not only that, He puts it on us. He puts it on you. It's not, here's the robe of righteousness, come in and get it, put it on. No, no. He told the prodigal son, was told by the father, told his servants, go get the best robe and put it on him. Put it on him. We'd put it on wrong if we was doing it. We'd have it on inside out, upside down or whatever. But the Lord takes us from the dunghill and clothes us and sits us at His table, and the Lord takes pleasure in His people. I just find that amazing, because the Father sees His Son in us and takes pleasure in us. We are His sons, what is it? Created in Christ Jesus. We are His creation. Unto good works. What? That were ordained before, that we should walk in them. The Lord takes pleasure in His people. In His people. I love that. I do. And the second thing it says here, He will beautify the meek with salvation. Understand, we're not beautiful. He beautifies. This is the thing, you know. We are so prideful in what we think of ourselves. Not that I'm like that anything, but you know. We are prideful, even in the littlest way. You understand? You can be proud of your humility. Oh, I'm just a humble fella. I don't toot my own horn, and you can get pride in that. That's not the meek He's talking about here. He beautifies the meek with salvation. He beautifies the meek. He saves those that don't deserve it. Almost anyone will admit that. Okay? But here's the other part. He saves those whom He gives to know they don't deserve it. You understand? Jesus Christ never saved anyone who wasn't lost first. He's going to show you your loss before He'll save you. Again, salvation is never about our merits. It's about His mercy. Always. Always, always. He saves those who know they don't deserve it, who know they have no merits. Matter of fact, our merits, our righteousnesses, our goodness are nothing but filthy, bloody rags in God's sight. In God's sight. You can look wonderfully well to the world. You can look wonderfully happy and prosperous and meek even. But that doesn't cut anything with God. He sees our meekness as what it is. And unless he gives you the meekness, you're not going to be one. The Lord in other places refers to us as worms, maggots, and rightfully so. Now, we've known people who don't like being compared to maggots. That's pride. That's pride. He says we're less than the small dust of the balance. You understand there's a balance here, and we can't tip it one way or the other. And he calls us maggots, red worms. O Jacob, thou worm. That's us. If you come to know you're nothing but a worm, God may have done something for you. Because he beautifies the meek with salvation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Now, do you know you are a worthless, useless, ungodly worm? That's meek. That's meek. To know that you have absolutely no claim on a holy and just God. That's meek. That's meek. Excuse me. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not the righteous. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he'll make sure you know you're lost. Because no one, I've said it before, I'll say it again, no one will be saved until they know they are lost. Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. But you're not going to call upon him until you know about it. And when Job saw him, Job said, I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And what did he say? I hate myself. I abhor. That's even worse than hate. I abhor myself. Have you ever abhorred yourself? I know in these days of self-esteem and worth and all that other stuff, people don't want you to mess with it. Don't worry about them. Worry about the one who sits on the throne. If you hate yourself, because you've seen him, the Lord, that's not a bad place to be. Because there, you can call upon the name of the Lord. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. I like that. I like that. And it says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Now, I got to start out by being clear. Here is not your glory. Let the saints be joyful in glory. It's not your glory. It's not my glory. It's not any man's glory. It's the glory of the Lord. It's not even the glory of the saints. It's the glory of the Lord. Be joyful. Why? He saves the meek. He takes pleasure in his people. Be joyful in him. The saints, believers, are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do not share his glory. We're covered by it. We're covered by his glory. And we are covered by his glory in the sight of the Lord. We are to be joyful of the glory of his salvation. Because his salvation is glorious. God himself, Jesus Christ himself, humbled himself and came down to this earth. Took upon the form of a servant. God himself, Jesus Christ, fulfilled every jot and tittle, the smallest bit of God's holy law. God himself gave himself for his people. God himself, Jesus Christ, bore in his body on the tree all of their sins. And God himself, Jesus Christ, takes pleasure in his people. Jesus Christ himself offered himself to the Father without spot and without blemish. And Jesus Christ right now is bringing in his lost sheep to the flock. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Who? His glory. His work. Jesus Christ has redeemed us to God. He has reconciled us to God. He did it himself. He has justified us himself. We know of his glory because of his apostles' writing. And others wrote the word of God. John 1 and verse 14 put it this way. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.